Thank you. Thank you, CFX. And that's where we find ourselves in the story today. The gospel is from the gospel message today is from the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And that's where we are. We are in a time of sadness and sorrow. And we have these brothers who are, they just sang about by the Sea of Tiberias, who are probably trying to figure out what to do next. Timeline's a little confusing. We just had a meeting with Jesus. Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, had to see and do. And now these guys have gone fishing? What's up with that? They've just been given a mission, and they've decided they're going fishing. The mission remains the same, and William so eloquently expressed it to the children, and he's going to expound on it in another minute for us, for the adults. You've just heard go make a difference. Well, why are they here? Why are they fishing? Why are they at the Sea of Tiberias? I know for myself, when I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I go to my thinking place, and sometimes it's in the shower. Sometimes it's with a mindless television show on in the background. Sometimes it's doing the dishes. And then sometimes when you're doing that thing, that pondering activity, that thinking activity, well, it doesn't turn out very well, and you then are distracted, and it's more about the activity than the thinking that you were supposed to do while you were there. I can't tell you why the disciples went to the Sea of Tiberias to go fishing, for sure, but I think they were following Peter. And Peter was this leader, and you're going to hear in the gospel that Jesus pulls Peter directly aside and says, you go feed my lambs. And why is he saying that? Because when you go, these guys will follow you. So Peter is a big guy in this story, and he's the one who's decided he's going to go fishing. And I think when we look at the parallels, the poetic parallels of this wonderful, wonderful story, John is just the writer. He's the guy. Peter denies Jesus over a charcoal fire. Right? In the palace. And now he's having breakfast with him over a charcoal fire. Peter's the one who won't get out of the boat, and then he will get out of the boat, and then he sinks. And then he's the one who's afraid and tells Jesus to get up and wake up in the boat because there's a storm. The water, the boat, the vessel, and of course the fish. The fish. The fish are the main point of the story. The best time to fish, anybody in here a fisherman? Raise your hand. One of the two best times to fish? Just before you get there and just after you leave. Those are the two best times to fish. But according to Aristotle and other historians, the best time to fish, back in these days and times, and still true, is in the twilight hours. The twilight hours before and after daybreak and night. And we call the morning twilight, there's a civil twilight, astronomical twilight, and it's a little dim. And it's when you can first look out across the water and see the people who are fishing in the boats just after the darkness lifts. So the mystery in this particular passage is not why they don't recognize Jesus. You may think that's a mystery. They can't see very well. And he's really not supposed to be there because, right, he's dead, right? We all know that. He's dead. We know now the story, but they're not so clear on that. He's in an unexpected place. So I hope you find yourself in an unexpected place today. I hope you find yourself putting yourself in the sandals and garb of these folks as they hear this message from the Gospel of John. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus, and he called out to them, friends, haven't you caught any fish? No, they answered. And he said, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning charcoal with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, when anyone begins their talk by saying, "I have a fishing story for you," you begin to grin a little bit and say, "Okay, a fishing story. Well, let's hear it." So, I've got a fishing story for you today. And your response is, "Okay, let's hear it." I've got a fishing story for you today. Okay, let's hear it. Here's the fishing story. Following the resurrection, Peter says, "I'm going to go back fishing again." So he does. And the other disciples say, "Well, wait a minute, we'll just go with you." So Peter and the disciples go back to fishing following the resurrection of Jesus. And they fish all night long. They don't catch anything. That's a great failure for a group of men who pride themselves on being good fishermen. That's a great failure. It is a failure, and it sort of makes them feel bad. They're skilled fishermen, but yet they didn't catch anything all night long. So you can imagine how they're feeling. But then there's this stranger on the shore who simply calls out, "Have you caught anything?" That just reminded them again that their nets were empty. They hadn't caught anything. And they said, "No, we haven't caught anything." And the stranger says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." Now, at that time, they did not know that the stranger was Jesus. But they listened to him, and they took the net, and they cast it on the right side of the boat. And then they had such a great catch, they could hardly pull the net in. And, well, there was every kind of fish in that net you could think of. It was like 153 fish in the net, and they hadn't lost a single one. They were all in the net. "What's up?" they probably were thinking to themselves. And slowly, the disciples begin to catch on. Christ is risen. Christ is indeed risen. And he's calling them now to put aside the fishing nets and to take up the gospel net. For the greatest catch they will ever have is soon to come, in which they, the church, will be able to bring all people, nations and races, to the table of Christ. Now that's a fishing story for the church today, to remind us that following Easter, we just don't check it off and say, "Well, Easter has come and we had a good Easter and we check it off and now we just put it behind us." No, when Easter comes, something happens. We realize, no. From here on out, the risen Christ is with us. And Jesus told his disciples in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, remember this, that apart from me, you can do nothing. But through me, you can do all things. And so this is a word, church, reminding us that our greatest ministry, our greatest catch is yet to come as we cast out our nets into the world. That we might bring in people of all ages, nations, and races to bring them to the table. The gospel net is to be cast out. But when we try to do ministry on our own, when we try to feed the 5,000 on our own, when we try to love everybody on our own, when we try to forgive everybody on our own, when we try to do anything in ministry on our own, there is no catch. Like the disciples, who that night were merely doing it on their own. But the message to the church is this: the risen Christ is with us, and when we do ministry through Him, we fail to realize how much we can do. Because through Christ we can do all things. You see, it's in John's Gospel in the 6th chapter that the 5,000 people needed to be fed, and Jesus says, well, we're going to feed them, and the disciples are going, well, we don't know how that will ever happen. Somebody has a suggestion. There's a little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus says, well, let me have what you have. Place the little that you have it into my hands and see what can happen. The 5,000 were fed. You see, the Gospel of John is about abundance, and chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have life in abundance. You see, John's gospel is about life, is about abundance. It's about Christ being able to provide for us all that we need to do His work. And so the message to the church is simply this. Don't dream too small. Dream big, and then through Christ, cast your nets. You know, Ellsworth Callis, who wrote the book, The Grand Sweep, I've been giving it out lately as presents to people. He helps take you through the whole Bible completely, the devotions every day, and there's a little prayer every day. It's a really neat book. He was instrumental in Disciple One video programs, and you heard him speak a lot through Disciple. But in his book, when it comes to John chapter 21, he says that he remembers when he was a little boy, a preacher was preaching. And the preacher was preaching to people who felt disheartened and defeated and discouraged. He was a little boy, and he knew that the pastor was preaching to some people that were just not feeling like they could make it. And the preacher said, how far do you think this morning you are from hope? How far this morning do you think you are from salvation? How far do you think this morning you are from victory, from breakthrough in your struggles? How far do you think you are from where you need to be? And then he asked this question, well, how wide is a boat? Because all it took was turning from one side of the boat to the other side of the boat. And they realized their hopes were far more matched by God's majesty. Greatest catch they had ever caught in their life. And that's how far away we are this morning from having hope in our struggles, from having hope for the world, from being able to be the church in a broken world, of continuing to speak the gospel to the world in hopes that one day, if not today, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the next day, if not the next day, then someday. But one day, it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's the word to the church today, is that the risen Christ is with us. And by merely turning to the other side of the boat, we realize we're never far away from hope. We're never far away from salvation. We're never far away from the catch that we need. Today, the invitation is just really simple. Christ invites us to put down our fishing nets and to take up the gospel net. The invitation is to do that today and to believe Him for the greatest catch we'll ever have. And that the best years of ministry for this church and for you are just ahead of us. And if you're struggling with hope, come. And I'll pray with you to turn to the other side of the boat and see how close you are. Let us stand.